This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Jermaine Stone from the podcast Wine and Hip Hop. I think you describe yourself as AKA the Wolf of Wine. What is it? The Czar of Vibes?
And the Czar of Vibes.
And the Young Thanos. I tell you what, my daughter will love that. The Young Thanos. Just out there collecting those Infinity Stones.
yeah, exactly. You know, she knows what Thanos comes to do. When Thanos shows up, it's like, whoa.
Half of everybody's gone, mate.
Exactly. So, you know, I always like to say I'm the younger. I'm the 37-year-old Thanos. Thanos is thousands of years old. I'm the 37-year-old version of that.
Okay. So your podcast, Wine and Hip Hop, it's been going for a couple of years. You put out a show every 2 or 3 weeks, roughly. And what I'd like to talk about today, if possible, is talk about the culture of hip hop and the culture of wine and that sort of where they connect. Because wine can be considered a little bit stuffy. Historically, it's been seen a little bit stuffy. These days, it's a little bit more of every man's drink in the UK anyway. And hip hop always seemed to me to be out there, you know, massive blinging it up, you know, just the creme de la creme of whatever it is. You know, if you're going to do wine, you're going to do Cristal champagne. If you're going to do brandy, you're going to do Remy Martin, that sort of thing. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about the show, first of all, and what sort of got you into it? Because podcasting, everybody's doing a podcast at the moment, but yours is quite cool. So let's get into it.
Yeah, well, you know, first, thank you for having me on the show. It's a great honor. When I started Wine and Hip Hop, well, to back it up a little bit, I'm from the Bronx, New York, the home and the birthplace of hip hop. So hip hop is just in my blood. You know, I was around it. My environment really just hip hop. Cult music spoke for the environment and the lifestyle that I grew up in. You know, so many of those stories were the stories of me, the stories of my friends. So I really related to hip hop, and it was 100% my first love. You know, I later got into the wine industry once I started college, just to help pay for school. But I fell in love with wine. I saw the community and the culture around it. And honestly, at that point, it was really, I saw the similarities in both wine and hip hop. And what I felt like I wanted to accomplish for myself from hip hop, I was able to do that within the wine industry, open my horizons, take me to see new things. You know, when I started out in wine auction, you know, on year one, I was in Beverly Hills, you know, doing an auction, but kid from the Bronx don't really show up in Beverly Hills that often. So, you know, it was just the wine industry intrigued me so much. And, you know, everyone was so gracious and wanting to offer that cultural exchange. They wanted to know about me and my upbringing, and it was vice versa. So within learning about wine, I really learned about people. And when you think about the time period that I started in wine is like, you know, those are very important foundational years. Like, you know, it's the age that you're in college. So many people are now discovering themselves. So I think that was a lot of my discovery period. But it was really at that point that I saw the connections between wine and hip hop. Interestingly enough, for the exact reasons that you mentioned, you know, you wouldn't assume wine for hip hop because it does have that blingy nature and, you know, it's connected to luxury. When you think about just beverage on a whole, if you're going there, you're going towards wine. And there are so many other, you know, luxury options within wine. You know, I started to think this way because I heard Jay-Z mention Petrus in 2006. And I was like, why aren't they trying to sell wine to rappers? Because rappers are always talking about expensive stuff. Maybe if we open their minds up and help them understand that there are other options out there, we can start to sell wines to rappers. And that was really what kind of started me down the train. And, you know, in my teenage years, I was rapping. And so I was always connected to creating and creatives. You know, I'd always recorded. I'd spent a ton of time in the studio, produced music videos. You name it, within the entertainment industry, I was doing so much of that. So I always had that creative outlet. And when I realized that I had something to say, and I realized the best way to connect the cultures was by getting in people's timelines and showing them how relatable wine is and how close these two cultures are already, that can inspire more people that are similar and like-minded and create some community. And, you know, it feels like we're starting to accomplish that.
I wouldn't say I'm ignorant of hip hop, but I did have to think about what exactly hip hop was. And because I always think of it more along the music lines. And when I started looking at it, I realized that it was actually, music is one element of it, but hip hop is more of a culture as opposed to just the music, just the rappers or whatever it is. There's the element of bling. There's, you know, they all seem to be pretty big guys dressed in baggy clothes.
Well, you know what? Now they wearing a bunch of tight clothes. Their clothes so tight, they got to put them around their waist sometimes.
Oh, no. It's big guys in baggy.
Exactly. I'm going to send you some pictures.
I don't know about that. I don't want to see them. But you said it was some of the music, you know, like Jay-Z talking about Petrus, and there's some songs about Cristal, Champagne and all that. But is there many songs from the sort of the rap area? Or
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I really try to highlight a lot to show, you know, one, how long wine culture has existed within hip hop, or at least wine appreciation has existed within hip hop. Early 90s, you know, big rapper E-40, right? And at this time, he's just coming up in the game. He actually does still raps and has his own wine line now. Shout out to E-40 and Earl Stevens Selections. But he had a song called Carlo Rossi back in the 90s, early 90s, you know, talking about Carlo Rossi Lambrusco, Carlo Rossi Chablis, you know, and this is, again, it's not like he's rapping about Cristal or anything, but he is speaking about wine. And at the end of the day, I've always felt like, you know, urban communities have only had certain wines put in front of them. And, you know, we've always wanted to educate people so that they knew that they could look outside of what's being placed in front of them and still find wines for like those same prices. Good wine is not determined by price. It's just determined by accessibility and information, you know. So I wanted to create a lane for that. But hip hop artists, you know, just even recently, Nas, he mentioned him. He referred to himself as the still wine drinker in a rap. You know, if that doesn't explain where hip hop is, I don't know what would. You know, it's a beautiful thing for me to see, but everyone from your most thugged out trap artist to the most prestigious or young artist, everyone is talking about wine in their lyrics now.
Yeah. Even Snoop Dogg, he's tied himself up with 19 Crimes, which, you know, you always think of hip hop, not always.
Right.
Some of the stuff I listen to is not gangster related at all. But, you know, 19 Crimes and a bit of gangster hip hop. So it sort of seems to be a good blend there. But how did you feel about that when Snoop Dogg? Because 19 Crimes is sort of a mainstream brand, isn't it, really?
You know, I got to say, I loved it. I loved it, man. I was really, really excited to see that. I was really excited that he started out with a red blend, you know, not a sparkling, because it showed me that the wine industry understood the culture of the people. And, you know, hip hop is currently the most popular genre of music in the United States. So it can't be the most popular genre of music and you're not trying to touch every part of popular culture. And wine is such a huge part of popular culture right now. But, you know, it's tough for me to get some of my friends to drink wine sometimes. You know, a lot of my friends might feel like wine is a female's drink or, you know, it's not strong enough. So give me the strong stuff. A lot of my friends were approaching things like that. So to see an artist like Snoop jump out there, face on a bottle, and promoting a wine, you know, now my friends are like, all right, well, let me give it a try. It at least it opens so many new people up to the category that even if that's not what they settle on, their mind is open to trying different things. And I think that the Snoop Dogg collaboration is very important for that. And the wine's solid, man. Like my brother is one of those guys. Like he's a construction worker, very blue collar guy. He doesn't eat at fancy restaurants and came to me with a bottle of Snoop's wine. He was like, have you tried this? Like, this is wine. Like, you know, so I love what they're doing and congratulations to them, man.
Okay. You said that a lot of people in hip hop aren't really into the wine, so to speak. We've touched on sort of champagne as being quite a one that's been used a bit in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You do a YouTube video series called Tasting Notes from the Streets, which are excellent. Yes. They're cool, man. I enjoyed those. Thank you. And you actually did an Italian white from Etna.
Etna Bianco.
I just kind of, you know, you're talking about your, you know, a little bit, getting into it with a little bit of red, but an Etna Bianco. How many people in hip hop we go, nah, I'm just going to have myself a little glass of Etna Bianco, you know? Is there certain styles of wine that are more appropriate or more popular or got more cachet than others?
You know, honestly, I'd say right now it's pretty much all over the place because, you know, I think about my demographic and my audience is probably between like 24 to 55 ish, you know. So this is what these are people that have now been drinking wine for a little while, kind of have some ideas about what they like, maybe not. So now that there are so many new things being introduced, I think that it's a bit all over the place, depending on what level you come in at. I don't know about you, but the normal trend that a lot of people go is like, you start out with the sweet stuff, super easy to understand. And then your flavor profile, changes over time. Now I'm also seeing a lot more people jump in through like the bubbles category, like, you know, Prosecco has at brunch is a big thing, bringing a ton of new drinkers in. But now that the information is so much more readily available and it's becoming a bit more like cultural currency, it's cool to know about wine. I think that that's leading to a lot of discovery from so many different demographics. So it's really cool, man. It's a great time to be in wine.
Yeah. I was sort of trying to understand a little bit about your business because wine and hip hop and your tasting notes from the streets, you often refer to Crew Love wines or Crew Love.
Yes.
What exactly is Crew Love? You got a nice big purple shirt wearing Crew Love. I couldn't actually understand what it was because it's in such Cyrillic writing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
it's Germanic in nature. So tell us about Crew Love.
Yeah, so when, you know, you think about the term crew in wine, right? It's like a group of vineyards of recognized quality, you know, or just at minimum, just having the recognized quality. And then you think about the term crew in hip hop, you know, like your crew. So it's a play on words, and plays on words are so important in hip hop. You'll notice, for example, our podcast, Wine and Hip Hop, the title of every episode is a mix of like wine and or hip, wine and hip hop terminology. Like, for example, you know, we have one, the illest vintage in hip hop, you know, or we interviewed a gentleman, Yannick Benjamin, one of my favorite Psalms in New York. He's in a wheelchair. We named that episode Wheels of Steel, you know, because it's like a turntable. So, but at the same time, you know, steel tanks. So it's just that we always connect wine and hip hop terminology. So I think the term crew love is really just like, it's the best one that I could figure out because it just spoke so clearly to both cultures. And when you see that term crew love, when you see it written this way, if you get it, that means that we are the same, you know? And so it's an immediate call out for people. So That's what that's about. But the company Crew Love is a we are a creative agency that's dedicated to blending wine and hip hop in organic ways. So I ended up spending about 13 and a half years in the wine auction industry. So and in wine auction, you know, you really learn a lot about the wine business. It's like a crash course in wine business because there are so many different types of clients. You deal with direct consumers because you work on the buy and sell side, you know, so you deal with direct consumers, you deal with retailers, you deal with restaurants, sommeliers, you know, you're direct with the winery sometimes, you're working with negociants, traders. So you see all of these different parts of the wine industry, but my job was to learn how to service these clients. I needed to make sure that I was of value to them. So I had to learn so much about their business, what was important to them and how they operated. You know, that said, when I left wine auction, I went straight into consulting. And I was consulting for wine auction type clients, consulting for transportation companies, importers, a lot of the people that I was and, you know, retailers. The people that I were working with in the past, I just continued to work with pretty much on my own. But, you know, I'm a hip hop dude, you know, and it wasn't quite true to myself. It felt like I wasn't like my wife's a doctor. You know, she's saving lives every day. But I was like selling wine to rich people or doing stuff for rich people. And I'm on call all the time. So, you know, that said, I transitioned and, you know, I now, because I had to learn so much about all of those different types of clients, I leaned into consulting. And, you know, as a consultant, I found that if I mixed hip hop into that and focused on people that needed help with, you know, things that could involve hip hop, I could stand in there. And you know, I didn't know anyone that knew the wine stuff and the hip hop stuff as well as I did. So that gave me a leg up where I was able to continue consulting for auction clients. But, you know, if like a rapper or something wants to start a wine brand, I want to be the person that he calls. You know, so, you know, that was a project we started with early on. We worked with Licata, Raekwon from Wu-Tang Clan's wine brand. And then the podcast was really to also open the category up because we needed to create a dialogue around wine where there wasn't. So we started the show Wine and Hip Hop, where every episode we pair a song or a guest to a bottle of wine or a concept in wine and have our conversation about that on the show. So that was our way to bring wine into a different conversation in front of a different type of person. And when I started out, I was just like, look, you know, at minimum, I can do this to stay in front of my consulting clients because I know that everybody loves hip hop and they would probably think it's cool to see some of their favorite rappers drinking wine. But at the same time, the hip hop guys that I knew were also intrigued by wine. And for me to be able to bring that to a space that was relatable, it now put it into the conversation. So, and this is all getting to what this means for the business. I'm just kind of breaking it down from consulting to media to then events, where, you know, everything in wine is super important with events. You have to try the wines, you need to mix, and it is so much about community. So I wanted to find a way to involve all of those things. So really, when you think about the consultation piece, the media piece, and the events piece, this is how we can create a culture. You drop the product, you create the conversation around the product, and then you create the activation with the product. So that was what Crew Love was about. And with that, you know, we can work with several different types of clients. You know, right now we work with like different wine consortiums that, you know, would like to help to promote maybe the region or a specific style of wine. You know, because what we do is we introduce wine concepts with hip hop. So it's always fresh. We talked a little bit about tasting notes from the streets. Now, That's our YouTube show, which follows me as I pair my favorite foods from the hood with a different wine from around the world. And you'll notice that all of the wines are international. We don't drink any domestic wines on the show because, you know, the show represents me and where I was at that time. And I feel like, well, at that time when that was the only foods that I was eating, and I feel like, you know, the wine.
Chopped cheese, Jamaican beef patties, fried fish. Man, that's a healthy diet.
I was raised on Jamaican beef patties. But, you know, I wanted to opened my eyes to the rest of the world. So I wanted to bring the rest of the world into the hood. And that's what we did with Tasting Notes from the Streets. So there we also have an event which follows that, where people can actually try the pairing that we did in the episode. So our business is about giving marketing opportunities to clients that want to help to grow wine culture and also to help consult if you'd like to create something or, you know, throw a fun event. What do cool. guys be called?
And I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, Rebecca Lawrence, and she was saying you guys might be coming to the UK at some point.
Oh, we are definitely coming to the UK. I'm totally in love with UK culture. I listen to like a lot of UK hip hop artists. I watch a ton of UK television. I just feel like you guys do the arts a lot better. Cool. Very, very talented people out there, man. But no, I love it, man. I'm 100% going to be there soon.
Oh, cool. Make sure Rebecca gives me a heads up so I can come along and have a look.
Oh, you know it. You got to come out and do an episode of Tasting Notes from the Streets with us. We're going to do a London version.
Yeah, I don't know if I could just imagine it, actually. A kebab. The worst kebab ever. I haven't eaten a kebab in years.
I just want to get some fish and chips, some authentic fish and chips direct from the source.
Yeah. You got to be super careful because the thing about it in England is a lot of people, they'll pre-fry everything and everything's soggy and it's terrible. So you got to get the right fish and chip shop because there's some pretty terrible, tragic ones out there.
This is why it's going to be important for you to be on the show. That's the show right there. You know it's so important.
Yeah, I know. I've been listening to some of your podcasts for a wee while now, and the question I think's really mean that you ask people is, who is your rapper animal spirit, mate? How's that? I heard you listen to that. Ask some poor French guy that. And I was like, you meanie. Man, that's tough. So what's your rapper animal spirit?
Let's see. So if I could pick a rapper that embodies my spirit, my style, my energy, I would have to say, like a lot of people would say Jay-Z, you know, because he's the man, basically. Yeah. And I'd like to think that I'm the man or trying to be. But I'm going to go with Rick Ross. Rick Ross would be my spirit animal because, you know, other than just being an amazing rapper, I think that he can get misunderstood a little bit. You know, most people think of him as a guy that likes to floss and, you know, talk about expensive things and all that, which is totally true. But he is dedicated to his craft and loves hip hop. You know, it's just everyone uses colors to paint. Those are just the colors that he paints with, you know. And so I think he's a great artist. Really like him a lot. And he's a boss, man. The biggest boss. I like to be Rick Ross.
All right, mate. Sounds good. All right, then, Jermaine. I think we'll wrap it up there. Cheers very much.
Yo, thanks, man.